Not a hand. Not, oh, Donna, come on now. You'll do it, though. Okay, but you don't like to do it. No one likes to do it, but suddenly we have to wait. And I've been preaching on that waiting, how to get through that. But now I'm going to talk, this final message, I'm going to talk about how to see the suddenly. Because when God does it, he does it quick. Your suddenly is not now, but it's coming. Can I get an amen? Whew, glory to God. All right, let's go to Romans chapter 4, verse 7. And let's start with Abraham. How many know Abraham? Amen. Verse 17. As it is written, I have made you, Abraham, a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Who, contrary to hope against hope, in hope, believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old. And the deadness of Sarah's womb, by the way, was probably 90 years old. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith. Faith doesn't make you weaker. Faith strengthens you. Giving glory to God. And being fully convinced. Say fully convinced. That what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. That confidence translated into righteousness. Righteousness is not you being a goody-two-shoes. Righteousness is not in your ability, it's in your faith. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for Journey Life Center. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him, who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. How many ready for the word of God? Wow. Praise the Lord. So this suddenly, I think Abraham's a perfect example. All the many years he waited. And God's like, you're going to become the father of nations. And Abraham's like, well, that's fine, God, but can I have one? And God, how many know God deliberately waited until it was impossible? There wasn't a thing he could do about it. Not a thing. It was impossible. And God waited for that. Sometimes your waiting is God making sure you understand you can't do this without him. You can't even do part of it. Come on. So you have to wait. Sometimes you're not waiting on God. He's waiting on you. I like what Jason said. Let me see if I get this right. Sometimes you got to walk it out while he works it out. Oh, I should have just titled this. That's good, Jason. Work a sermon around that. Now. Yeah, amen. And let me hear it so I can steal it. Amen. Whew, praise God. So here's Abraham. Here's Abraham. And the Bible says Abraham hoped, really, literally, he hoped against hope. In other words, he hoped when there was no hope. He hoped. I mean, the circumstances said there's no hope, but he hoped. Sometimes when there's no hope, the best thing you can do is hope. He hoped against hope. It didn't make sense. It wasn't realistic. It wasn't scientific. It wasn't natural. There was no way it was going to happen, but he stood there and hoped at 100 years old. He's telling God. Now, I know people lived a little bit longer back then, a little bit, but still 100 back then was probably 80 or 90 now. How many know that's still too old? Oh, Jesus. I hope that's too old. I wouldn't do that to my Sarah. Amen. And by the way, Sarah's 90 years old, so that's got to be 75 in today's numbers. But anyway, they're old. Huh? They got help now. I don't want that help. Don't put that on me. My hand's sweating already. Jesus. Don't you say anything else today. Lord, help us. Say hope against hope. The Bible says he was looking for a city. I'll get back to that in a minute. Hebrews 11 and 1 talks about this. Now, faith is the, say it, substance. It's, faith is the reality. It's the substance of things hoped for. There has to be hope first that leads, and once you go from hope to faith, now you have the substance. You can see what you can't see. Oh, I know some of you aren't following me. It's the evidence of things not seen. Say, it's the evidence. The evidence, whew, of things not seen. You can't, you're not seeing your miracle, but yet that's the, faith is the evidence of that. My God, my God, my God. Hebrews 11, 8. Again, New Testament, Hebrews, talking about Abraham. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out of the place which he would receive, go out to the place which he would receive his inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he's going. Did you ever just start out and he said, where are you going? And you go, I don't know. I've done that on cruises sometimes. You know, glory takes care of all that. And people ask, where are you going? I say, I don't know. I just show up and she pays the bills. Amen. So he was going to a place which he would receive his inheritance. He went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt, he lived in the land of promise. How many know there's a land? As in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed. She bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. You may not realize it, but you're living proof of this blessing. Because you're part of that innumerable number. When we get to heaven, Abraham's just going to sit there and say, welcome home, child, welcome home, child, welcome home, child. Because it's all because he stepped out by faith and waited and waited and waited until he got his suddenly. He waited. He waited. He waited. My God, hallelujah. But see, he was looking for a city. He waited, my God. Isaiah 55 and 11 says this, so shall my word, say my word, be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void. God done speak something and nothing happen. If you hear something, it's going to happen. Jesus. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please. And it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. All right. A little teaching here about the word. In the Greek, there are two words for word. And in the English, there's not. So wherever it doesn't matter which word it uses in the Greek, it translates as word. But there are two words in the Greek. One is logos, and one is rhema. And when it's logos, it means the written word. The written word, the Bible. When you quote scripture, that's logos. It's the word of God written down in the scriptures. But rhema is what comes out of God's mouth now. You know, there are Christians who don't believe God's doing anything. They don't believe in the gifts of the Spirit. Some of them don't even believe in healing. My God, those are lonely Christians. They have a hard time wrapping themselves around the supernatural. Oh, more on that next week. The supernatural, amen. But rhema is the spoken word. Let me Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the, that word there in the Greek is rhema. It's not just the word you read, it's the word he speaks now into your life. Come on, church. Come on, I need your help. I really do. So faith comes by hearing in the Spirit the word, the word of God. Somebody say amen. Matthew 4:4. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. You've heard this. But by every that proceeds from the mouth of God. Word, rhema. Every word, every rhema that proceeds from the mouth of God. That word proceed means flowing. It's coming out of his mouth. It's flowing. How many want to get in the stream of what's flowing? It's not about bread. It's not about what you think you need. It's about the flow of God's word. That's what we live for. The word. The flowing of the word. How many are following me? How many are flowing with me? Whew, glory to God. All right, an example. 1 Kings 18. Now, you know the story. I don't even know if I have to read it. But remember, Elijah. Y'all pray for me. But Elijah prayed and no rain for 6 years. How many know that's a drought? So Ahab said to King, I mean, Elijah said to King Ahab, go up, get up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of abundance of rain. It's going to pour, Ahab. I haven't seen it rain in 6 years. Yeah, but it's coming. Oh, it's coming. Get up and get going. Get yourself a good meal because you're about to see it rain. I mean, Elijah could have said, I shut it up. I can open it. Whew. So Ahab went up to eat and drink. But Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel. It seems that whenever they want to get something from God, a lot of times they go up on a mountain. Oh, more on that next week. Then Elijah bowed down on the ground, put his face between his knees. And he said to his servant, go up now. Look toward the sea. You got to understand, Mount Carmel rises like this, like a cliff. And then it drops down, and then at the edge of the cliff, you're looking at the Mediterranean Ocean. You got me? So he went up and looked and said, there's nothing there. There hasn't been a cloud in the sky for 6 years. Not even a cloud. He said, there's nothing. But he said 7 times, go again, go again, go again. Go again, go again, go again. Go again. Yeah, I counted them. And it came to pass, it came to pass. Said the seventh time, there is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea. Now get this. There's not a cloud in the sky. And way off on the horizon, how many of you looked over the ocean and you see nothing but water? And there's not a cloud in the sky, and on the horizon, which is usually at least 10 miles away, on the horizon, you see a little white cloud, a little puff of smoke. And the servant said, I don't know if I should even bring that up. I don't know if it means anything, but I guess I'll tell the master. Now, Elijah, I was out there looking, and we haven't seen a cloud in 6 years, but I saw a little puff of smoke, and not black, but white. There's no rain in a white cloud, but I saw it all off on the horizon. Just thought I'd let you know that there was a cloud there. He said it was as small as a man's hand. That's a little cloud. As you look out of the horizon, just rising out of the sea. So Elijah said, here it comes. Oh, I want to preach right now, but I got to go. Timing. Go up. Get out of here. Go say to the old king, prepare your chariot. Go down before the rain stops you. You better get on out of here before the flood hits. You wait around, you're going to get stuck in the mud because it's going to rain. Say, it's going to rain. Two more verses. Come on, how many are still with me? Now, it happened in the meantime. While he's going to tell Ahab it's going to rain, the sky became black with clouds and wind. That little cloud turned dark and got bigger, and it kept coming and got bigger and blacker and full of rain. And he said, here it comes, folks, until the whole sky was covered with a black cloud. It was like every ounce of moisture that's been held back, rushed up to the mountain, said, here we come. So Ahab rode away and went to Jezreel. Then the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran ahead of Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. And you've heard me say this before. It's one of those Holy Ghost pictures he gave me. Ahab's in a chariot, and he's outrunning him. It'd be like you going down Interstate 71 and some dude goes. That's how weird that would have been, right? You go, what in the world? Does he have a jetpack on? What's going on? He outruns the chariot. Can I get an amen? So, Listen, okay, let's get the progress here. You still with me? Number one, listen for the sound. Sometimes you'll hear something before you see something. Yeah. The Lord may confirm something. I hear it. Something might start. Something might break out. It's not much, but you hear. You didn't see it, but you heard the sound of it. I can't see it, but I can hear it. It's out there somewhere. Number two, pray fervently. Elijah didn't look around. He just prayed. Sometimes you just got to pray. And he sat down, put his head between his legs. In other words, he wasn't looking at the sky. He was looking to Jesus. He prayed fervently. Say, pray fervently. And he sent his servant, because storms in the Middle East always came, you know, our storms, I guess it's the same thing. It comes from the west, right? And that's the Mediterranean Ocean. So he says, go look to the west. In other words, look toward the answer. Quit looking at the problem. Look at the answer. But preach, I can't see anything. Keep looking. You heard something. Keep looking. Look toward the answer. Don't give in to doubts. Don't turn around and say, what if, what if, what if, what if, what if. Just stay focused on the answer. He kept sending his servant, go look, go look, go look. Don't give up. But keep pointing. Keep looking. Say, keep looking. Keep looking toward the answer. Number four, keep going. Keep looking. I think I said that already. Keep going. Keep looking. And this is important. Don't despise small beginnings. Sometimes you'll see a little bit of it coming, and the devil tell you, yeah, that's all he's got. You're going to get a little blessing. That's just a little cloud. How much rain can you get in that? We're going to have a little drizzle. This ain't going to be nothing. You need to understand sometimes your answer comes in doses. It comes really small at first. And you got to wait a little longer. Let it accumulate. Let it grow. Let it come together properly. Don't despise small beginnings. Don't you give in to the devil who said that's all he's got. You need to tell him that's just the beginning. That's not all he's got. Oh, praise God. The rain will come. If he said it, his word won't return. Oh, you know your scripture. You must have a good pastor. Of course, I just preached it. Say, the rain will come. If he said it, wait while he works. Thank you, Jason. Hallelujah. Philippians 1:6. I got to hurry up. Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete that good work until the day of Jesus Christ. My God, put that on your refrigerator. If he started it, he'll finish it. Take that, devil. Oh, I feel like punching something. Just don't have the strength to be much use, but I'm going to try. And being confident, say confident, of this very thing, that he who has begun, say begun, begun a good work, says, looks like you fell. No, I'm okay. Who has begun a good work in you, will complete, say complete it. Complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. If he started it, he's got to finish it. It's his word. It's his word. It's his word. It's his word. Praise God. Amen. Hebrews 10:22. Let us draw near then with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Oh, that's good. That's good. Whoever wrote Hebrews, they knew what they were doing. For he who promised is faithful. And by the way, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Oh, thank you. But exhorting one another, and so much the more, and so much the more, and so much the more. 2,000 years later, as you see the day, capital D, approaching. Real quick, here's the process. Draw near. Stay close. Come on. I don't care if you feel them or not, stay close. And number two, you got to be covered by the blood. That's just salvation. In the Old Testament, the priest had to be sprinkled in blood. All the furniture had to be covered in blood. Something had to pay a price before you can touch it, see it, feel it. How many know the blood's been shed? You're covered in blood if you're a child of the King. That gives you access. Next week. And then you're washed. You're not just covered, sinful person. All your sins are covered, but then they can also be washed so that you're pure. Whew. Holding fast. And then he says, and also consider one another. What if there's something powerful about being in a house of God? What if there's something powerful about someone else having the answer that you need? What if it's more powerful in the house than sitting at the house? These Christians, I don't go to church. It's just me and Jesus on the sofa. Just me and Jesus. Well, aren't you special? He didn't leave a relationship. He left a church. And you tell anyone, well, I was hurt. Those Christians hurt me. Oh, get over it. So what? There's not a person in here who hadn't been hurt by somebody sometime. How many got over it? How many are glad you got over it? How many are better off because of it? Ha! And what if we start coming to the house of God, not just expecting something from us, but expecting God to use us to touch someone else? What if that person sitting next to you, he might have your answer or you might have his? There's power in the laying on of hands, of touching one another. That's powerful. You can't get that at home. You can't sit there on the couch watching super preacher. And he puts his hand out there, and you run to the TV and put your head on his hand. That doesn't work. Now, God might answer his prayer, but how many believe there's something different about? The Bible says, lay hands on each other. What if there's something? Can I get spooky? What if what's coming from heaven through you, when you make a connection, when you make that connection, what if that's actually a connection? What if what's coming through you goes through your hands into him? Oh, Pastor, it can't work like that. You just go on and do your little hands on the TV. In fact, Paul says, lay hands on no man suddenly, because you might be passing something on, or they might be passing something to you. Now, no one will touch anybody. I know. Greater is he that is in me than is in you. Come on, devil. I might give you a blessing, but you ain't giving me no devils. Ha! Ha! Any other huzz out there? What if being together is the vehicle through which God blesses his people? Everybody listening out there in TV land. Now, I know some of you have a good reason to be there, and some of you are just lazy. Some of you are still hurt. I'm hurt. I thought greater is he that is in you than the dummy who tried to hurt you. Why would you let someone else hurt you and you stick with that? I'm hurt. Wimp. Get over it. It's not about you anyway.
Oh, got quiet in the house.
Listen, as we're walking, let's consider each other, because that's part of the blessing. And then he tells us why, because the end is near. Next week. I keep pushing next week. And it might even be a series. I have no idea. How many will let me preach what I feel the Holy Spirit's given me? You know, if I'm studying something and it's setting me on fire, that's a good sign. I need to share it. Does that make sense? Then it goes over the airwaves, and I know someone's sitting at home and say, that preacher's really out there. Yeah. I'm not in the world. I'm out there. Some of you are not even getting it. The first five rows are getting it, but the rest of you, stand to your feet so I can shut up.